Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 109 of the IA Cast. My name is Michael Doeys, and I'm here this week with Jason Earls.
Hello, everyone.
Aaliyah Dudley.
Hello.
And Megan Hargrave.
Hello, everyone.
It's good to have you back, Megan.
It's good to be back.
You know, Megan, you're not in HD, you're in LD, low definition.
Huh.
Wow. Good
you.
Way to point out that Megan's on AirPods there, right?
You know, well, see, it depends on your definition of HD, because if you're talking about voice communication services, because the AirPods are producing 16 kilohertz audio, she's actually using HD voice.
Oh my God, way to defend her.
Geek, anyone?
Geek. Seatbelts, everyone. Oh.
So.
Oh, I do not like you right now.
So.
Oh, do you want to drive?
I'm the one driving. So let's get to the news. So, yeah, let's get on to the news here. So, we don't have a lot. We skipped a week because we had some travel, and it was, you know, some minor, you know, weekend. You know, it was super.
Excuse me.
It was super.
Super in the name, Super Bowl, Super Team, Super everything. It was a super weekend, and I'm sorry, my Patriots take priority over you guys. What? Oh, no. Okay.
See,
it was a super weekend because I didn't watch any sports at all.
I still want to go back and watch all the commercials, but Microsoft did a out of the park.
That's touchdown, the wrong sport.
Touchdown quality commercial.
Yeah, I was going to say, wouldn't that be out of the stadium?
Yeah.
But it was an amazing commercial on gaming during the Super Bowl, and we'll put a link to it during the show notes, but good for them for making inclusion and accessibility as part of their very expensive Super Bowl commercial.
My name is Grover.
John.
My name is Ian.
I'm Taylor.
My name is Owen.
Kids with disabilities.
I'm 9.5 years old.
I only have one.
One hand.
And yeah.
I love video games, my friends, my family, and again, video games.
Whenever I play it, it makes me feel happy.
The fun that you get to have with connecting with your friends.
You make your own rules.
It's his way of interacting with his friends when he can't physically otherwise do it.
When I'm playing with a regular controller, there's some things that don't work for me.
It's difficult for me to use both joysticks and the D-pad at the exact same time.
And it just slowed me down a bunch more while other people were like,
she's never had the freedom to play at the level she knows she could.
I never thought it was unfair. I just thought, hey, this is the way it is and it's not gonna change.
What I like about the adaptive controller is that now everyone can play.
I don't even have to look at the controller
using her elbow.
Screen like, hey, yep.
You never want your kid to feel like an outsider or an other.
One of the biggest fears early on is, how will Owen be viewed by the other kids?
Owen using his feet on the controller.
He's not different when he plays.
Owen uses the adaptive controller.
It's a little challenging, but that's the whole point of gaming.
I can hit the buttons just as fast as they can.
With only one hand.
And I think I can crush my friends.
No matter how your body is or how fast you are, you can play. It's a really good thing to have in this world.
When everybody plays, we all win. Microsoft.
Now, you want to say that accessibility at any cost is brain dead? Then what was that?
That was lots of cost, and certainly not
that
brain
was
dead.
Microsoft.
So,
because yeah, they featured the what is that controller called?
The adaptive controller for Xbox.
Yeah, the adaptive controller. Yeah, which I thought was cool. I have not actually listened to the commercial. I'd like to. Somebody, I'm willing to bet there's got to be some sort of like playlist on YouTube of all the Super Bowl commercials, one after the other.
Apparently, if you go to the NFL website, you can get to all of them.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So, yeah, that was really neat and good for Microsoft for doing that. I'm very excited to see that.
That's amazing.
Now, that's commitment to accessibility, folks. Some other news that has come out is that Apple has had a bug with FaceTime, which they have fixed in 12.1.4. Anybody would like to elaborate on that bug?
So as I understand, the way the group FaceTime bug worked was if you were starting a group FaceTime call and you added your own phone number into the call, then you were able to hear the audio streams of the other participants in the group even before they answered the call. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So Apple
discovered
had,
by a teenager, no less.
Yeah, playing Fortnite. I don't remember the person. I don't remember his name. But apparently, they did give him credit in the bug program that they have, or the credits for the release notes for iOS something. I know they gave him credit. And so yes, they have fixed that server side, and also in the update, which I have to go on a little bit of a rant here. Just a short one. All these tech sites were talking about like how this is Apple's biggest security bug ever, and like how it's a terrible, terrible thing, even after Apple killed the ability to make group FaceTime calls server side. Thereby, in the way I see it, they eliminated the problem anyway, even if they had to kill the group FaceTime feature to do it.
It's better than some companies who would have left it there until they've patched it.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, then everybody was like doing all this like fear mongering and stuff of the FaceTime bug, and it's not that big of a deal if Apple kills that server side because you can't use it in the first place then. But the point is, it's been fixed, and
Rantanals.
You can now use group FaceTime all you want.
Now, it's also announced that you cannot use group FaceTime unless you are on the latest version. So 12.1.4 and above will support this, but nothing below.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't see that. So everybody definitely install this update.
All right. So our next topic is that we at iAccessibility found a neat little Easter egg in iOS 12.2 beta.
Give Megan credit.
And that was found by our very own Megan Hargrave.
Well, don't give me too much credit.
Hey, you're the one who told us about it, so.
It was actually kind of a fluke that I came across it. I was sending an audio message back to a friend, and I like to listen to my messages sometimes to see how they sound. Not that I like listening to it myself, because I really, really don't. I'm on the 12.2 beta and listened to it, and it sounded a lot clearer than it has for a very long time, or has ever. I don't know. But anyway, I approached Jason. I'm like, hey, Jason, have you noticed this? And he's like, no. So we tested it, and needless to say, we're all very excited about it, because it sounds I would say it has FaceTime audio quality.
I think it's better than FaceTime.
I think it's a bit better, too.
I think it's a bit better, but I also think they're still using the FaceTime audio codec to the AAC3 codec, or at least in a version of AAC to make this happen. And it's interesting because if you use AirPods, we all know how AirPods sound. And Megan, this is not a jab at you, but if you guys need a refresher on how they sound, Megan's on hers right now.
Oh my gosh, leave her alone.
You're the one who started it, Aaliyah.
Exactly, picking on you is my job.
I'm not even picking on her. I'm simply saying she's on her AirPods. So if you wonder what the AirPods sound like, just pay attention to her sound profile when she's speaking, because she's using them. So the point is, if you send an audio message with the AirPods, it seems like the noise cancellation gets temporarily disabled on the AirPods when you are recording iMessages. iMessages. It's very interesting. And Aaliyah, I seem to remember your noise cancellation in the beta had become disabled slightly, well, more than slightly, like all the way when you were on Team Talk before. I've not been able to replicate that, but I wonder if that means something is going to be happening to the AirPods in the future, whether it's an update to the existing ones or something with the new AirPods, the new generation.
I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't notice a ton of difference, but I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I certainly did when listening to them. It was interesting. So yeah, high quality audio messages, guys.
Yeah, so we will be demoing this when they bring 12.2 out of beta. If the feature still stays in the final release.
If it doesn't, we'll and be demoing all of us crying big tears.
Right. Ugh. and what's interesting is I am not running the beta on my Apple Watch. And I guess because I'm running the 12.2 beta on my phone, even my watch, which is not in the beta, can send and receive high-quality audio messages.
I figured it could receive, but sending is interesting.
Well, actually, you know what? Now that you mention that, I never did test sending. Because
how do you send an audio message?
Dictate.
On the Apple Watch.
It's really weird. You have to set your defaults, and it's annoying.
I'm going to do that after the show. I'll send one of you guys an audio message, and we'll see what happens, because I'm kind of curious now. So, another interesting news item, at least I think it's interesting because it's reminiscent of what we have seen in the past, is that Sprint is suing AT&T because of their 5G indicator situation. So basically what they're doing is areas of their network where they have advanced LTE coverage, they are also labeling as 5G, which is not really 5G. And they're doing it on Android phones, and apparently they are also doing it in iOS. I'm not sure if it's as of 12.1.4 or if it's as of the 12.2 betas. I think it's the 12.2 betas where they're putting the 5G indicator on phones. And is it Sprint? I think it is Sprint that's suing AT&T for their claims, because it's just marketing. It's not really 5G, and they claim that it's going to cause a lot of confusion for consumers as to what 5G really is and when they're using it. And I kind of agree personally because, you know, none of the carriers at this point really have nationwide 5G coverage. It's in select cities in the country right now for at least AT&T and Verizon, I know.
Well, that's actually a good little conversation there. We may have to extend that to another show. But I'm kind of curious because I don't fully agree on that. And I'm curious what the definition of true 5G is. Because, and the reason why I say that is I remember when 4G came out, there was two types of 4G. There was HSDPA or HSPA or whatever it was. And then LTE. And so the argument was, what is the true 4G? So,
right, and as I understand it, the true definition of 4G actually was LTE, because T-Mobile was actually one of the carriers who was doing this when 4G came out. They were falsely advertising 4G where 4G didn't exist as of the true definitions of 4G.
But a lot of phones will actually say 4G, especially AT&T and T-Mobile with the HSDPA, or I think that's what the...
Oh, you know what? Yeah, you know? maybe you're right. Maybe it's DPA plus, and which is 4G. I don't know, but I know what you're talking about, because if I disable LTE, my phone shows 4G.
So what is exactly 4G, and what is 5G? Is it a technology or is it a data speed amount? And in that case, it kind of seems like Sprint is suing AT&T over, branding, and it kind of feels like that's kind of a standards war. Like,
I think it is. I think it's a technology, actually, from what I've been reading, that defines 5G as opposed to, like, the actual speeds. Because you can get gigabit class LTE, which is not really 5G. And I don't remember the explanation off the top of my head as to why, but I read an article. I think it was on CNET, where they were talking about the fact that Sprint was suing them.
But it kind of seems
we can link
like,
to an.
Yeah, we'll link to it. It just seems like it kind of goes back to, you know, that whole discussion: what is 4G? What is 3G? You know,
yeah.
If it's advanced LTE, that kind of seems in the realm of. This is so much better than 60 to 200 megabits. It's a big jump. So I don't think it's a problem marketing it as 5G if it's a substantial increase over the 4G standard.
I don't know. I just don't like it. It just, I don't know. There's just something about that feels wrong to me personally. It would be like, I don't really even know what to compare it to. But it just feels wrong, in my opinion.
But I think when a lawsuit like that comes up, it's what defines a generation, you know, 5G. What defines that paradigm?
Yeah, that's true. It's very interesting. I wonder what's going to come out of this.
Yeah, me too. We will keep a good eye on this because I'm curious.
Yes.
And I'm thinking that, you know, I've had Verizon store folks tell me that the iPhone has 5G capable modems. And I wonder if what they were actually talking about was the advanced LTE.
Yeah, I don't know. And I just did some research, like, really, really quickly. And it is, in fact, Sprint that is suing AT&T over their 5G claims, not Verizon. I just wanted to make sure I made that clear.
Okay, so... that is all the news that we have for you guys today. We'll have more next week, I'm sure, but that's what we could come up with in 2 weeks. So I wanted to talk to you guys about one of the things that we really enjoy doing and we hope you guys take advantage of, and that is our Patreon page. You know, becoming an iAccessibility and iACast patron may not seem like you get much, but you get access to all of our outtakes. You get access to all of these things, and there's going to be more and more perks in the future. So head over to patreon.com/iacast to check that out. We really do some cool outtakes. We have some full-length recordings at our $5 tier plan, and we may have some other perks coming soon for you guys that become patrons. So patreon.com/iacast, and that would really help us out if you guys would join us there. And you know, we have a Discord server, so if you are into that, you may get special perks for becoming a patron and you know, joining the testing and talking on there. So we really hope that you join and become part of the community over there. All right, so it is time for our topic of the week, and that is how to take a good professional photo while not having any sight at all. And believe it or not, this is not just with an iPhone. There are apps and different things out there that you can use to do this. And it's really amazing what we can do. You know, before the smartphone, people who are blind could not take photos. And I think a lot of people still have no desire or knowledge that they can do so. I mean, I think after this episode, you can determine if you could, but you could take the next family photo at Christmas. And I think that's amazing. And we're going to tell you how to do it. So I will say that for this, you will have more success if you're an iPhone user, just because of some of the apps that are available.
Psst, iOS rules.
But it can be done with an Android phone as well. So believe it or not, your best asset on the iPhone is not going to be your camera app, but a little app called Seeing AI. The Seeing AI app will really help you determine what you're looking at in your picture. In photography terms, this is called the subject. And so it will help you figure out what your subject is. If you're trying to take a picture of a room, You know, to get items in a picture, the scene preview is going to be your best bet.
Yeah, but apparently I'm an old man.
Well, I can't help you with
40.
That. I can't help you with that. But the person tab would help you learn how many people are in the picture. Also, it's a good idea to use the light detector to detect how much light is in the room before you go and take that shot. And believe it or not, you could actually take the picture from Seeing AI directly and save it to your camera roll.
And folks, taking a picture in a dark room doesn't work well. You do need sufficient light.
No, it does not.
Now, you can adjust the flash in Seeing AI, but it does help to have a better well-lit room. Unless you're going for a darker picture. In that case, make sure it's not completely dark.
Yeah, don't turn off all the lights and then try to take a picture.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Now, there are other apps that can help you with taking pictures. And one of the things that Android has been able to do really well for a long time is to be able to tell the camera app to shoot or take a picture, especially on Samsung phones, and it would do this. On iOS, you can press the volume buttons to take a picture, but there's also, I believe, Camera Plus, which is a paid app that will let you use a voice-activated word to take a picture.
Can't you take a picture with S Lady with the camera?
She will not take the picture. It will put you in the app ready to take it, but she will not take it. You can do that through a shortcut. And actually, the Google Assistant, at least with a video that I've learned, will start it for you. I don't know about photos, but it will start your video for you.
Hmm. And there is a shortcut called Say Cheese that will let you take a photo through Siri. I actually made a shortcut called Say Family that will actually take a picture after a certain amount of time so you can get yourself in the picture. So those are some great techniques. But another thing is Apple and Google have added a great feature in the camera apps called Burst Mode. And you may wonder, well, why does this help? What it does is it lets you take several, I think it's like 60 shots per second, 30
yeah,
or 60.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And it's almost like rapid fire.
It's almost like a news, like a reporter camera.
Mm-hmm. And then you could take the best shot and then it deletes the rest. So this is a way that if you have somebody with their eyes, you know, they blink, you can make sure you get that good shot even though you can't see.
And a quick way to take a burst photo is to hold the volume up button, if I remember correctly, right?
I think either one.
I think either one works.
Oh, I thought it was just volume up. Interesting.
Nope.
Oh, you learn something every day.
Now, one of the things that I like on the Google phones, you could actually press the side button twice and it quickly gets you to the camera.
Also, on older phones like the Samsung, the S7, pressing your home button twice by default will put you there.
And Aaliyah found, I think we put a link to it somewhere in one of our older shows, there's an app called Selfie X that will actually tell you
when
it's good to take a shot.
I can't see you. Say cheese.
I still have that app installed.
Yep, I still have it, certainly. It's nice, you know, if you just want to get a quick selfie. And it uses the back camera. It was initially built for sighted people, guys, to use the back camera to take selfies with. It just happens that it's also beneficial for us.
Now, I actually have been able to take a group photo with Apple's camera app before.
And how does that work?
So what I did was I was using the face detection, and when VoiceOver told me how many faces there were in the photo, I think it told me with group faces whether or not they were centered into the camera. It's been a while, I don't remember. But so once it told me how many faces it saw and everything, I just took the picture and apparently it came out pretty well. I mean, it may have needed to be cropped, but I wasn't taking it to, I don't think I shared it anywhere. I was just taking it to demonstrate that it was able to be done with VoiceOver.
And you'll really be surprised at these cameras, how good of shots they actually make. I did a few shots at my work teaching the same topic to students, and it really made some amazing shots, better than, you know, I probably would have done just doing a point-and-shoot situation.
And speaking of making shots, I have actually made my first shot that I fully intended to share on social media, and it is on my Facebook page. I did it using nothing but seeing AI in the scene preview, and the picture is of our cat sitting in a cardboard box, because that's what cats do. The box was actually on its side, and I totally used nothing but seeing AI, and I think I actually posted its description that seeing AI had said, and then I posted in the same status what it was really, because I think they were slightly different. But it was just really cool to be able to take the picture independently without having to have any sighted assistance.
I think it's truly amazing what seeing AI has given us.
I think it's not just that. I think it's, you know, all of the apps that are available out there.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, it's not, we haven't had the ability to take photos with any accuracy until, you know, as you said, Michael, until the iPhone and other smartphones. The iPhone is the first one that I remember allowing us to do it. I don't know if there were anything else. Was there? Was there anything for Windows Mobile and Symbian?
Not that I know of. That's not to say it doesn't exist. Now, if you're on an Android phone, the options are a little bit more limited. There is Envision AI, but the quality that you're going to get with that is not even close to what you would receive with Seeing AI. But it does have facial detection, and there is a feature through Google to speak what text is being shown through the camera, and it does do face detection as well. So you still get those features, you just don't get the reliability of the Seeing AI app. But there's another service that Aaliyah uses that can definitely help in the taking of pictures.
Ira. Megan uses it too.
That's right, you do. So can y'all give an example of how you guys would use Ira to do this?
So if I want Ira to take a picture for me and I want to be in it, the agent's going to help me position my camera in such a way that they can take the picture. They'll then label the picture and leave it in my inbox in my app where I can save it to photos and upload it to Facebook or Twitter or wherever. But the agent will direct your hand so that you can be in the photo as well.
Can Be My Eyes volunteers do that?
With oh, I'm camera? Sure they cannot send you the photos, but they can help
but
you.
But they can take a picture?
Well, no, actually, I don't think they can. Because that
I
would
think
have
they can
to
only zoom in.
Yeah, I think they can only zoom in. It would have to be built in on their side, and I honestly, I wouldn't want somebody able to snap a picture of something that they see without my knowledge.
Agreed.
Or whatever.
Right. Well, I know they can at least turn the they can turn the flash on and off on the camera. I know that
yeah.
much.
But like at least for Ira, the phone tells you taking picture, uploading picture, please wait. So you know when it's taken, which is nice.
So Megan, have you done this with Ira?
In regarding to selfies, no. I've had to use it if I'm like, for example, finding a building or something and they need to zoom in, or they it's blurry or something, so they need to enhance it or do whatever they need to do. So I've had a bit of experience with them taking pictures and stuff, but not necessarily like with pictures that I would like to keep, you know?
Right. You know, another thing on the Apple side of things that's really cool, if you do take a picture with the camera app, there is what's called live photos. And the neat thing about this is it takes 3 seconds of video with your photo. Now, you may be asking, how is that relevant?
Six.
No, it's three. You might be wondering, how is this useful for people who are blind? Well, very simple. One of the things that Apple does not let you do is label your pictures. And if you time it right, while you take a live photo, while you take the photo, you can speak out the subject. So what you can do is while you're taking the photo, you could say, family photo. So 1.5 seconds before and 1.5 seconds after, the shutter flash is the time you have to say something. So you have to time it right, but you can really label your images pretty well by doing that.
I didn't know you could do that.
I knew you could do it. I've just never done it because I didn't think about it when I first like heard about live photos when Apple was announcing them on the keynote for iOS. So I had just turned them off, and I've really left them off ever since. But that's definitely a very easy way to label your images for sure. Can't you? I could have sworn when you took the image that you could name it in the Photos app. You can't do that?
No, there's no text field to name an image. Now, what you can do is you could use the voiceover image naming or voiceover object naming gesture.
Oh, the label gesture, the two-finger double tap and hold?
Correct. And as long as you have that picture on your phone, it will be labeled. Now, if you move it off your phone or you get a new phone, forget it. That's going to be gone. But, yeah.
Will it? I thought voiceover labels synced via iCloud.
They're really funky.
Remember, it can re-index your pictures however it chooses.
Oh, well, I guess it's true.
So keep those things in mind. Those are some ways that you can do this. And there are other ways that you can rename images by exporting them to your computer, renaming them, and importing them again. But that's a lot of work.
Yeah. And also, you know, if you are ever in any doubt what a picture is in your camera roll, you can also share the picture with Seeing AI and have it try to give you a description of the photo in question as well.
Exactly. And again, on the Google side, I believe Envision AI will do a lot of that. And I know Google is working on recognition applications as well. So there is hope on that side.
Couldn't Google Lens help take photos too? Or is that like product
good
recognition
point.
And
yes,
stuff?
It can. Google Lens will help you identify what's in different photos. So that is another option as well. So this is kind of a short, condensed version of what I teach. But I think that we have gone over a lot of resources, and we will actually do demo casts of these different technologies as well over the year, so you'll be able to see how those work as well. Does anybody have any final comments or other topics I missed before we wrap up?
The Internet is Forever. # The Internet is Forever by Brad Paisley.
Yes.
That's my
indeed.
Comment.
You ought to be ashamed of that selfie. You took it of your face, but you know you're really showing your posterior.
No, it's just, I mean, the real reason other than the humor aspect I bring that up is just because, you know, just be mindful, guys, when you're taking pictures and you're going to post them on social media, that, you know, if somebody asks you to not include them in their picture, if you have a way to ensure that you don't include them in that picture, please do so, because it's a little disrespectful if you snap somebody's like face or something without their permission. Do you guys like not agree? It went silent.
I was waiting to see if anybody else had anything to say.
I was like,
No, I just think that we should all be selfish jerks and take pictures of whoever we want. Jason, you're wrong.
Jason, you're always wrong.
Well, I can see I have a lot of support on this show.
# Jason is wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to have to start that up after this episode. If we were one of those podcasts that, you know, did funny, witty episode names, which we used to, we don't really do it anymore, folks, but we used to.
Oh, I miss those.
One would be # Jason is wrong.
Right.
I do miss those.
All right. I think that'll do it for this week. We'll be back again next week for a new episode. But before we go, Jason, what's your pick of the week and where can people find you online?
So my pick of the week is actually the Amazon app. It might have its moments of frustration when using it with VoiceOver in iOS, but I find it's a very valuable resource for me if I'm ever looking to purchase different like technology items. Like for instance, those headphones that I talked about before, the what were they? The Sennheiser HD450s that I ultimately ended up returning. I was reading a lot of reviews on Amazon, and you know, it's just it's a really easy way to be able to purchase items without having to go to a physical store, which, to be fair, does give you some advantages. But when that just can't happen, it's pretty cool. As far as where people can find me, you can find me producing content for iAccessibility. You can email me at jason@iAccessibility.net. You can follow me on Twitter at JDE, that's Juliet Delta Echo 91. And you can also search for me on Facebook, just search for Jason Earls.
Again, who is Juliet? Just let it go.
That's funny. All right, Aaliyah, what is your pick and where can people find you?
What, where, when, why, what? My pick for this week is a social network for bookworms, and that is Goodreads. You can share what you're reading, where you are in what you're reading, what you want to read, what you've read, all the things. You can have a reading challenge and challenge yourself to read a certain number of books during the year. You can get recommendations and see what your friends are doing. It's all sorts of fun. And you can search for new books. Very, very nice social network and very accessible. So give it a shot. It's free. And with that being said, you
could also join book clubs.
Yes, you can. Like the IA.
Also, I just want to point out that you said give it a shot on a photography show.
Ha!
Yeah.
You can find me beating Jason over the head with a wet noodle.
Or a book.
Yeah.
At least take a picture of it.
Oh. I'm not getting a book wet just to beat him over the head with it.
I didn't say a wet book. I just said a book.
Well, I said wet noodle and you said or a book. It kind of implied a wet book.
I guess.
Anyway, I'm not dipping my Victor stream in anything. Anyway, you can find me producing content for iAccessibility. You can email me at Aaliyah, that's Aaliehah@iAccessibility.net. And you can follow me on Twitter at blindcowgirl199. Also, PSA, if you try to add me on Facebook, you will get declined. Sorry.
All right. And Megan, how about you? Where can people find you and what's your pick?
Well, my pick for this week is a topic we discussed earlier in the show, and that is audio iMessages. I just love it for its new sound quality and, well, with or without AirPods, because either way, it sounds a lot better than it did. As for where people can find me online, you can find me producing content for iAccessibility. You can email me at Megan, MEAGHAN, at iAccessibility.net. And you can also follow me on Twitter at MeganH13.
All right. And you could find me, Michael Dowies, producing content for iAccessibility on my new iPad Pro keyboard. You like what I did there?
No.
Because that is my pick for the week. I purchased a iPad Pro keyboard case from Apple, and
are you going to learn to get any better at your grammar? It's an iPad Pro case.
An iPad Pro case, excuse me. And it's very nice. And it's about, I believe, $180.
Expensive.
It is expensive, but what I like about this case is the fact that it can rotate all the way backwards around the back of the iPad, where the keyboard is facing opposite the screen, and you could use it like that with the iPad Or you could have it in kickstand mode, and it has two viewing angles.
Wait, why would you want to use it like that? Flipped all the way over.
Well, if you wanted to keep it in the case, but don't want to take the case off, and so have protection on the back.
Oh.
And the keys do not work.
That's not how you made it seem. Okay.
Well, the keys are opposite the screen of the iPad. Yes.
That would mean the keys were on the back facing the...
They are. They're facing outward.
So if the iPad is laying on its... If the screen of the iPad's laying on a desk, then the keys are facing the ceiling?
No, if the screen is facing the ceiling, like you're using it...
The keys are on the desk?
The keys are on the desk.
That's weird.
And I believe
the... In other words, I was right the first time.
And the... I believe the Chromebooks, the Pixel books work the same way as well.
Michael refuses to admit Jason was right. Hashtag Jason was wrong. Because yes, if the screen of the iPad was face down on the desk, then the keys would be facing the ceiling.
Yeah, but there's no point in facing the...
No, there isn't. But it's still, Jason was right.
But basically, what you can do with this is there's so many different viewing angles for this iPad stand. And it's using a smart connector, but it only uses the smart connector when it detects that it's in a viewing angle right for use with a keyboard, which is really cool. The only drawback is there's no function keys.
Interesting.
But the keys will not work if it's not locked into place in a typing viewing angle, which I wonder how they do that. That's really cool.
Interesting.
Accelerometer, maybe?
No, I'm thinking it's the magnets.
There's probably magnets on the side, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where the old smart connector used to be, there's probably some...
Oh, that's a good point. They're
at least a sensor.
And there's no backlit keys, which kind of is a bummer, but... It's nice. It fits well in your lap. It doesn't fold up if you push it. So, say you're taking a plane ride and you need to use your iPad, you're going to be able to easily use this case on your lap. Which, for me, I had a hard time using the Logitech cases for that purpose, just because of how they're built. So, for me, this is a vast improvement over the Logitech. It's not as protective as the Logitech case, but... It does work really well.
Yeah, a Logitech case on your lap is not very fun.
Logilap.
And it turns out the reason why there are no Logitech cases for these iPads, according to an Apple employee, they found it difficult to make a good position for the pencil on top that has the charging port. That one has just not been made yet. So, I highly recommend it. I mean... Yes, you could go out and get a kickstand and a magic keyboard, but you're spending about the same amount of money anyway, and you're losing your charging port if you want to charge your keyboard. So,
right, at least this way you don't have to worry about charging your keyboard. It'll always be there when you want it.
Right.
Which is why I like the smart connector keyboard on my iPad, which is not a new iPad.
Right.
It is the older.
All right, if you want to find me online for real this time, you can find me producing content for iAccessibility. You can email me at MikeDoise, that's MikeDoise at iAccessibility.net. I am Michael Doise on Facebook, and on Twitter I am Mike Doise, and you can find me all over the web, and my website, MichaelDoise.com. If you want to find iAccessibility, you can at iAccessibility.net. We are iAccessibility1 on Twitter. You could find us in our iOS app for iAccessibility. We have the IACast Android app. You could find us on Patreon at patreon.com/IACast. And you can find us on YouTube. Just search for iAccessibility and look for the IACast episodes. You can find us by email as well, by emailing feedback at iAccessibility.net. And you can... send us questions or any comments you may have about the show. We have gotten a few, so we appreciate all of those. So keep them coming, and we will have plenty more shows to come very soon. So stay tuned, and we hope to see you on a new episode of the IACast. So thanks everybody for being here, and we'll be back next week.
Bye everyone.
Bye guys.
Bye everyone.
Bye everyone.
Copyright 2019, iAccessibility, LLC.